In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let anyone with ears listen. It's a good beginning to a sermon, right? I think anybody that is even a casual observer of the religions of the world will have to admit and notice that we are in a time of crisis. Crisis meaning a time of decision, a time of judgment. We sometimes say that we are spiritual but not religious. But religion, at its core, if we look at the beginning of the origin of the word, from the Latin re ligare, ligare, to bind together again. Religion is there in order to help us make sense of life. We find ourselves thrown into life, alive, but looking for the reason why we're there. Religion, or spirituality, if you will, is meant to help us bind together those things, create an explanation for why we're here and a reason for living, a reason for giving. I would suspect that if we were to look at the phenomenology of religion today, we would see basically two very different approaches. We could call one approach to God and religion preceptive, the other one perfective. Now, preceptive religion has to do with the creation of rules and regulations and laws and guidelines, and all the world's religions have them. If we look to Islam, you know that within the Quran there are certain regulations of behavior. If we look to Judaism, we see that the Torah, which is now translated, unfortunately, the law, but really means the teaching, the instruction, the guidelines to live by. We find there not only the law, the teaching to guide our life, but we find within Judaism a creation of what was once called the hedge or the fence around the Torah, a system of rules and regulations that would regulate the life and the behavior of individuals so that in creating a small infraction, they wouldn't create a greater infraction against the teaching or the law. Within Christianity, we have, obviously, we follow the Ten Commandments along with our Jewish brothers and sisters. We call them commandments. Thou shalt not. Sometimes we forget we also have the Beatitudes. But we also have other rules and regulations describing how a life should be lived. Some in some churches are very stringent. You can't drink alcohol, you can't dance. In others, there is a differentiation between types of sin, gradations of sin, mortal sin, venial sin, more important, less important. Prescriptive religion gives us guidelines, laws, rules. But the unfortunate thing there is that when you forget why the rules and the guidelines and the laws are there, they were based on a relationship, first of all. God calls his people to covenant relationship with him. When you forget the relationship, all you have left are the laws and the rules. The prophet Isaiah railed against the people of his own day who forgot the relationship, and he called on them to change their hearts and their minds. He said, it's not good enough to have precept upon precept, rule upon rule, here a little, there a little, all to keep people under control, keep people in line. Today, in today's second reading, Paul talks about the difference between flesh and spirit. Flesh, he's not talking about sexual sins. He's talking about a way of viewing things that is based solely upon precept, law, rule. The relationship is missing. On the other hand, there is a perfective approach to faith, to living, to spirituality. The perfective approach assumes that something is given already before and life is lived in response to that thing that is given. What is the thing that is given? Within Judaism, the thing that is given is the relationship with God, the covenant, God ever faithful. In Isaiah, we also read, can a mother forget her baby? Can a woman forget the child in her womb? Yet even if these forget, I will not forget you. See, you are carved in the palm of my hand. You are precious in my eyes, and I love you. It's a far cry from rules and regulations. In Psalm 136, if you were to read it this afternoon or tonight, you would see over and over again through 26 verses, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. 26 times there's a refrain, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. But when you forget relationship, all you have left are rules and regulations. The perfective approach to spirituality and to faith in God presumes that relationship in love. I can remember a time when I was my first few years in college, I set out to be, I have a double major in English and history, and then I needed a course in humanities, and so I signed up for a course, Introduction to the New Testament, 7:30 in the morning, a summer course. Can you imagine? What was I thinking? That course changed my life because I had grown up with a prescriptive approach to spirituality and to faith. You follow the Ten Commandments, obey your father and mother, you do this, you do that, and you're a good person. But what happens when bad things happen to good people? It's not supposed to be that way. Sitting in this course, I remember this kind of a stocky, bald-headed, I found out later he was a Presbyterian minister, Dr. Palmer. He had an interesting way of teaching because he had humor and he could be dramatic at times. There were times when he would walk along and then he would pivot quickly to make a point. And of course, if he pointed to you and he had a question, you were in trouble. But he was reading in New Testament Greek and then translating from Good News for Modern Man. Some of you have seen this in New Testament. The 14th and 15th verses of chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark. Metanoiate kai pisteuate en to evangelio. Change your way of thinking and put your trust in the good news. Change your way of thinking and put your trust in the good news. I was sitting there at 7:30 in the morning saying, well, what does that mean? Change your way of thinking. I thought I was right. I thought I had the answers. And here he's saying, change your way of thinking and put your trust in the good news. What is the good news? I talked to him afterwards and I said, what are you talking about, this good news? And I described to him how I grew up and what I thought and what I believed. And he said, I'll never forget this. Where is the good news in that? Where is the good news in that? Where is the life? Where is the spirit? The spirit gives life. Good news gives life. Where is the good news in what you believe? It changed my life because shortly thereafter, I ended up going into the seminary. Now, some may question whether that was good or bad, but a perfective approach to our relationship with God. We see this over and over and over again in Paul's writings. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trial or distress or persecution or hunger or nakedness or the sword? No, we are more than conquerors because of him who loves us. More than conquerors because him who loves us. Doesn't take the suffering away, but there is always hope. And that hope will not leave us disappointed, as he says. In other words, if the grounding of our lives are based upon that unshakable love of God, life is lived in response to that. Our lives and our spirituality shouldn't be treated like the carrot at the end of the stick. Get you to do a little bit more, a little bit more. Reward and punishment. The ground of our spirituality, the very basis for our lives, from birth to death and everything in between, everything is held up and undergirded by the steadfast love of God, which never goes away. There is nothing you can do. There is nothing you can say. There is nothing in your past. There is nothing in your present. There is nothing that you can do in your future that will ever take that away. And with that comes a freedom that's indescribable, ineffable. Not the freedom of license to do whatever you want to whomever you want, but the freedom to be free of anxiety, the freedom to live out a life in response to love. Having received love, you're called to give it, to share it. Like the disciples say in the Acts of the Apostles, I have neither silver nor gold, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ and the love that you have that is the ground of your life, stand up and live. Live in freedom. Live courageously. Give generously. You have nothing to worry about. One of my favorite poems, and those of you who are on our prayer ministry have already seen or heard this, comes from Wendell Berry. Wendell Berry is a Kentucky farmer who is a poet, a philosopher, a novelist, an environmentalist, an academician. He does pretty much anything. He's a Renaissance man. But as I grow older, I'm brought more and more back to some of his writings. He's famous for his Sabbath walks along his farm in Kentucky. And the Sabbath walk created an inspiration for him. And I think what he has to say is fitting for this morning. Because this morning in today's parable, and if you were to look in your bulletin, the parable actually really ends at the end of the first paragraph. It's people in the Jesus day who said, well, what does he mean? Somebody had to write it in and make it clear afterwards. But what Jesus actually spoke is the first paragraph there. Parabole, you remember, means something that is placed next to something else as a comparison. And what we are comparing today, what we are invited to participate in, is a comparison of the difference between a preceptive faith and a perfective faith based on love. A love that is freeing, that is generous, that is inclusive and all-encompassing. Wendell Berry writes this, No, there is no going back. Less and less you are the possibility you were. More and more you have become those lives and deaths that have belonged to you. You have become a sort of a grave containing much that was and is no more in time. Beloved, then, now, and always. And so you have become a sort of tree standing over a grave. Now more than ever, you can be generous toward each day that comes young to disappear forever and yet remain unaging in the mind. Every day you have less and less reason not to give yourself away. Our prayer this morning as we hear this particular parable and this gospel is that realizing all that we have been given and continue to be given, a love that will continue to endure, will have less and less reason not to give ourselves away. Amen.